morning, brothers and sisters. Apologies from Sister Jill. She's sort of flat on her back at home with vertigo at the moment. So, yeah, prayers for her needed at this time. Readings in Revelation, like Si pointed out, they get pretty grim in places, don't they? We tend to look at them and we skip over some of the bits we don't like because it think, well, that's a bit tough to deal with. I don't need that tough stuff in my life at the moment. I need some good stuff to hear. So the exhortation that I'm going to do today is sort of based a little bit around that. But Jill and I have been talking to quite a few people in Pyro, people that we know, friends, Pyro and YE, about events that are happening around the world, particularly in the light of what's happening in Israel and the escalation of events there. And people are starting to wake up to the idea that there's something out of the ordinary happening. And there seems to be a spirit of fear in people at this time as well. And us, like them, wonder how much things are going to get worse before Yahweh says to his son, our Lord Jesus, it's time. So do we sometimes fear what is to come? Zechariah 8, in yesterday's reading, twice says, do not fear. So what do we do about that? So we have some assurance from Yahweh that we are going to be all right, no matter what goes on around us. And it's certainly been a great conversation starter to lead into proclaiming the hope of the kingdom. Much the same way as when President Trump was elected, it became a great jump-off point for conversation because people go, don't want to know. And wondering why Jill and I were so excited. And the same thing's happening now. Jill and I start getting quite enthusiastic, evidently, so people tell us when we start engaging them in conversation about end time events and how things are going to get worse, and here's us getting excited and they're going, really? So what gets to these people is how genuinely not concerned for ourselves that they see, Jill and I and others. But our fear is for those who don't yet know the God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. Now I want to weave the strands of a number of those conversations with brethren and family and friends, workmates, etc., into this exhort. And it's been a little confronting for me as I've had to examine some of my preconceived ideas and things I would like to see happening before the kingdom comes. And one of the probably the strongest things that I've had to deal with is asking myself, how strong is my faith in God? Are you like me and don't really know? And the second question I'm going to ask everybody, who loves our God? And I'd like to think everybody would either raise their hands or nod their head. So I ask the question, how strong is that love? John 14, verse 15 says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And there's a number of other references in John 14, verse 21. He that has my commandments and keeps them is he that loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. We compare that with John 15, 10. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. John 1 John 5, 2 says, by this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. Common theme starting to arise from these verses. Keeping the commandments to show our love. So obedience is required in keeping his commandments. And obedience requires actions. We do this to express our love to Yahweh, and by some means it is the measure of our love for him. So I started off with a question on faith, and what does love have to do with faith, and in particular my faith? So we go back to Abraham, the father of faith, and we've had any number of exhortations on Abraham and faith and whatever, and I'm not going there. Phew, you might say. But what was Abraham thinking as he was already raised the knife to slay Isaac and before the angel commanded him to stop? Now, I think we've all tried to imagine what that must have been like. So where did his faith come from? Now, he knew that the promises of the kingdom were to come through Isaac, and that Isaac would be resurrected if needed to receive those promises. So it implied a huge level of trust in the word of God to fulfill that promise. What gave Abraham that level of trust that he would willingly offer something so precious as his son, his only son, at that of Sarah, begotten in his very old age? Now, without diminishing the importance of Ishmael, and he is important in the promises of God made to Abraham, Scripture tells us of the preference of Yahweh and Abraham for Isaac as the inheritor. Isaac, in this way, is held up as by Scripture as the supreme type of Jesus our Christ. Therefore, Abraham becomes the supreme type of Yahweh with all that entails. The connection between Abraham and Yahweh is that of the most powerful love imaginable for their respective sons. What makes Abraham different in this respect is his even more powerful love for Yahweh. It is that love, that powerful love, which steadied his heart and his hand as he prepared to sacrifice Isaac. And it was the depth of that response to that love that Yahweh counted Abraham as the example of faith, which would be held as the standard that all others, our faith brothers and sisters, would be measured by. Abraham was commanded to sacrifice Isaac. He obeyed. So why am I talking about love and faith at this time, especially when we've heard so many exhortations about love and faith over the years in their various guises? 1 John 5:2 tells us, "By this we know that we love the children of God," that's you, brothers and sisters and young people, "when we love God and keep his commandments." In the same way, Abraham's love for his yet future sons and daughters was and is confirmed by his actions on the mountains of Moriah. Moriah, when it's translated, means chosen by Jehovah, by Yahweh. He didn't just choose the mountain, he chose it for a reason. And I think the reason is, in type, Abraham was going to sacrifice Isaac on us, the chosen of Yahweh. Now we start seeing the future-reaching power of Abraham's love for Yahweh in that oh-so-powerful event on the mountains of Moriah. So why do we need to know the power and depth of Abraham's faith, especially when we struggle to understand how strong our own faith really is? I'm thinking that the ultimate test of our love for Yahweh is going to be sometime in the future the ultimate test of our faith. It seems stronger faith goes hand in hand with stronger love. It's not going to be an exercise in finding out in Scripture and studying what's required. in following a prescribed set of instructions in order to develop our faith. Just as love is not a learned emotion, so too faith is something that is not learned. We think about the phrase, faith without works is dead, and by association, our love for Yahweh is shown by works of obedience. Both love of God and our fellows and faith are experiential attributes. They are developed by their use in our relationships with Yahweh, our brethren, and our fellow citizens on earth. Yahweh has said he is prepared to offer all a place in his kingdom. And one of the commandments from him is to do what we possibly can to make that happen. We read in Mark 16, verse 15, and he said to them, "Go ye into the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Sorry. And I've been asking myself, why is this starting to take over my thinking, especially at this time in the events in the world? I'm becoming more preoccupied with the subject to the extent that it's now becoming a Bible study subject for 2024. But look at the world around us. All the signs that the return of Jesus Christ and the kingdom of our God is at hand. Some of those signs have already passed and we're still okay. But what of the signs yet to be fulfilled? Some of which we ponder over and hope and pray will be taken away before they eventuate. Our wildest imagining, our wildest fears won't compare to the reality that is going to come. And I don't say this to scare. Scripture tells us that men's hearts will fail for fear because of those events. They will come, as surely as Scripture tells us they will. How then will our love for Yahweh and our faith stand in the fiery trials when they personally touch our lives? Matthew 24:21. "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be." That prophetic word is soon to come about. If the signs we're already seeing are those that Scripture testifies to, will we be participants in that great tribulation? I don't know that all of us will be, but I can say that some of us most certainly will. Revelation 7:9, which we've read this morning. "After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations, kindreds, people, tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands." So who are these being described here? We like to think that it's us, the resurrected saints, and it probably is. But look who the angel tells John they are a few verses further on. In Revelation 7:14 it says, "And I, John, said to him, Sir, you knowest? And he, the angel, said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." So it looks like the great crowd of Revelation 7:9 are those who have come out of the great tribulation of Matthew 24:21. Now, you might understand why I've been asking myself, hey, how great is my love, and therefore my faith in Yahweh and his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in the light of what we've seen around us, and why I'm putting that question to you today. There's a lot of detail in prophetic scripture about the events of the time of the end. To go into that detail as a block of information would take way more time than what we have available, and it would scare us considerably as we try to take it all in. Yahweh has considered our weakness when he reveals prophetic scripture to us. It is dispersed throughout scripture in doses that we should be comfortable with working with, not in overwhelming amounts of detail that would serve to increase the fear in our already fearful hearts. I would be lying if I said I didn't have a degree of fear in my heart. But that's probably a good thing. It shows me that Yahweh still has work to do with me on my walk to the kingdom. I must say that the level of fear I've felt in the past when I've seen things befalling people has nearly dissipated over the years, with the realisation that Yahweh still loves me and wants me in his kingdom, and I'm still okay. It's now up to me to prove my love for him and our Lord Jesus by obeying his commandments. Mark 12, verses 30 to 31. And you shall love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself. There is no other commandment greater than these. Here we have another commandment. Jesus said it to his disciples. As I've said before in Mark 16, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I'm aware I need to focus more on obeying the commandments given to me. That we need to seek Yahweh and his Christ. And that our love for God and neighbour needs to be our focus as we seek to do his will. So my love grows, so too should my obedience grow. And thereby should my faith grow as well, especially in the trials about to confront us. My heart is steady when I read the likes of Luke 12, verse 7. Fear not, you are more valued than many sparrows. In 1 John 4, verse 18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment, and he that feareth is not made perfect in love. So we still have some perfecting to do. Right now, I may not have that perfect love, but I do know with all my heart that Jesus my Christ loves me. How do I know this? Scripture says, John 15, verse 30, greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Our Lord Jesus has laid down his life for us, his friends. He laid down his life for me and for you. And with that perfect love of his, how can our faith not be strong? Only time will tell, but may that time be soon. Even so, come, Lord Jesus.